Let's read together Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 33. Now, in this portion of Proverbs chapter 1, we have the precepts of wisdom described and illustrated in vivid terms. Let's begin by reading verses 7 through 10. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning now with verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Let's begin our study of this portion of Proverbs chapter 1 with some background notes. A very simple outline of the book of Proverbs would be as follows. Roman numeral 1, precepts of wisdom, chapters 1 through 9, and Roman numeral 2, proverbs of wisdom, chapters 10 through 31. Now, in the first 7 verses of chapter 1, we discuss the author of Proverbs, the purpose of Proverbs, and the theme of Proverbs. Now, here in verses 7 through 10, we have the precepts of wisdom given in concise form. These precepts of wisdom will be elaborated on in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, and then the proverbs of wisdom will begin in chapter 10. There are proverbs throughout the book, but the ones in the first 9 chapters of the book emphasize the precepts of wisdom. Now, what are these precepts of wisdom? There are 3 given in the verses that we just read. Number 1, revere God. Number 2, respect authority. And number 3, resist temptation. Once again, number 1, revere God. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Revere God, verse 7, which is the theme of the book. Read it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Remember, to fear the Lord is to honor and worship and show reverence to God. Fools do not revere God. Number 2, respect authority, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. The idea of the garlands and ornaments is a figurative way of saying that your respect of authority brings honor and moral beauty to your life. And precept number 3, resist temptation. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And now these precepts of wisdom will be expanded on throughout the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point for this portion of Proverbs chapter 1. So doctrinal point number 1, crime does not pay. Crime does not pay, verses 11 through 19. Crime does not pay is not a Bible verse per se, but it is a biblical truth, and certainly taught here in Proverbs chapter 1. Let's read these verses, beginning with verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Question, who is the my son who is being advised in these verses? The term my son is used a number of times throughout the book of Proverbs. Answer, most likely in view of the mention of both the father's instruction as well as the mother's teaching in verse 8, the primary idea is parental instruction, which is so important for young people. So we not only have the precepts of wisdom taught here in Proverbs, but we have the responsibility of parents to teach them. Now, Solomon certainly had more folks in mind than Rehoboam and his other sons when he compiled these Proverbs. In fact, he probably had in mind people of all ages, not just young people. All of us are parents or teachers on the one hand and have a responsibility to teach the precepts of wisdom to our sons, whether they be our children, grandchildren, pupils, or sons in the faith. And on the other hand, we are all sons or pupils who need to constantly hear and learn instruction from our literal parents or our godly fathers and mothers in the faith. And of course, it goes without saying that as sons in the family of God, we need to be instructed in the precepts of wisdom by our Heavenly Father. In verses 11 through 19, my son is instructed to avoid bad company. In the context, the temptation is to run with the wrong crowd and make a quick fortune by ambushing the wealthy, even if it means shedding innocent blood. The way of wisdom is to resist all such temptation. Don't run with the wrong crowd. Be aware of these get-rich-quick schemes. They generally involve hurting some innocent persons. These wrongdoers will reap what they have sown. Even a bird avoids a net that it sees, but God ensures that these evil schemers will get caught in their own traps. They ambush themselves. God has ensured that in his moral universe, when all is said and done, crime does not pay. Crime does not pay. Doctrinal point number two. Wisdom has the last word. Wisdom has the last word. Verses 20 through 33. Now in these verses, wisdom is personified, and she is calling out to everyone to follow the way of wisdom for their own well-being. The wisdom here that is calling out is the word of God, even the Lord himself. Let's read these verses, verses 20 through 33. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning now with verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Notice how in verses 20 and 21, wisdom is calling out to everyone in the street. That is, in all the rush and routine of daily life. She is particularly calling out to the naive and scoffers and fools. Verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Remember, fools in Proverbs are not people with low IQs, but rather people who do not follow the precepts of wisdom. They do not revere God, and they do not respect authority. And they do not resist temptation. We see in the rest of this chapter that those who listen to wisdom will live securely and be free from the fear of evil. Verse 33, but whoever listens to me, that is wisdom, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. But those who do not listen to the word of God and the way of wisdom will reap what they have sown. Verse 31, they will eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. I love the way the Living Bible puts verse 26, where wisdom is speaking. Quote, Someday you'll be in trouble, and I'll laugh. Mock me, will you? I'll mock you. Verse 26 from the Living Bible. So wisdom will have the last laugh when it comes to the mockers and scoffers. Wisdom has the last word. And now what about practical application from this portion of Proverbs chapter 1? Practical application number 1. Don't get taken in by a sweet talker. Don't get taken in by a sweet talker. What's a sweet talker anyway? A sweet talker is someone who is a very persuasive person who can manipulate you with his words to buy something or do something against your better judgment. In verses 10 through 14 of Proverbs chapter 1, the sinners in view here are sweet talkers trying to sweet talk the innocent young man to join them in sinful activity. Let's read these verses once again. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Verses 10 through 14. The young man is warned in verses 15 and 16 to resist and not get taken in by these sweet talkers. Verses 15 and 16 once again. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Verses 15 and 16. Back in Judges chapter 9, we read of the tyranny of Abimelech. Abimelech was one of the bad judges who sweet-talked the people of Shechem to make him ruler over them. Read the rest of the story, and you'll see how wrong the people of Shechem were to be taken in by this sweet-talker Abimelech. You know, there are a lot of sweet-talkers out there. Everything from fast-talking used cars salesmen to men in the ministry who are but wolves in sheep's clothing. Be warned, don't get taken in by a sweet talker. And practical application number 2, don't reach the point of no return. Don't reach the point of no return. Verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Can a person get to a point of no return with God? Yes, but understand that the problem is not with God's grace. It's with man's rebellion. There comes a time when you could return, but you won't return because of the hardness of your heart. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God said, my spirit will not strive with man forever. And Proverbs 29, verse 1 says, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29, 1. You can harden your heart to the precepts of wisdom to the point that you're so calloused you won't return. Don't reach the point of no return.